testing. This is Beth Morgan. It is April the 7th, 2003. And I am visiting with David Herrera at his home in Mesquite, New Mexico. And this interview is for the Bracero Oral History Project. Testing, testing. This is Beth Morgan. It's April the 7th, 2003. And I'm visiting with David Herrera at his home in Mesquite, New Mexico. This interview is for the Bracero Oral History Project. So now I should be able to hear it a bit better when you're talking also. So if I could ask you, Mr. Herrera, when and where were you born?
I was born in Bracito, New Mexico, about 4 miles from Mesquite, in April the 2nd, 1925.
Okay, and your full name is what?
My phone number?
Full name.
Full name is David F. Herrera. I just use the initial.
Okay. And where did you grow up and go to school, Mr. Herrera?
I grew up in the village of Mesquite, New Mexico.
Okay.
I went to Mesquite Elementary, and then I went to Anthony Union High School, and I attended 2 years at the New Mexico State University, which was New Mexico A&M at that time.
Okay. And did you graduate from NMSU then?
No, I just went 2 years.
Okay, and what did you study there?
Civil engineering.
Okay. Were your parents farmers?
Yes.
Also?
Yes.
And that was here in the Mesquite area?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay, and what did they raise?
At that time, when I was growing up, the main crop was cotton and alfalfa.
Okay.
Now the farming is very diversified with many other crops.
And what was your father's name?
Felipe E. Herrera.
Felipe with an F, right?
Yes.
Okay. And he farmed here in this area also?
Yes. My folks moved to this area when I was less than a year old, so he bought a farm west of town here, and that's where our farm was.
Okay. When did you... Hang on a second. When did you start farming yourself?
Well, actually, I started farming in 1946. 2 years after I got out of high school. I might add that I became a college dropout to become a farmer.
And was this something that you did by choice, or did you need to help your family? Or?
No, farming was always in my blood.
Mm-hmm.
I started farming a small tract of land shortly after that, and at that time, farming was, you could make a real good living on farming. The costs were low, and the price of crops were almost the same as they are now.
Uh-huh. Okay. And when you began farming, was it your father's property, or did you buy your own place?
No, I bought small acreage.
Okay.
And I started with small acreage, and so I kept on farming. I leased some ground, and then I started buying some of my own acreage.
Okay, and was that also here in this area?
In the surrounding areas.
Uh-huh.
When I started farming, if a farm came up for sale that was within my area where I could farm it without having to travel with farm equipment any distance, well, I'd make an effort to buy it.
Okay. And how many acres did you start with, if you don't mind my asking?
12.
12. Okay. Should I stop this?
Let me see my wife. Yeah.
Okay. Now we're rolling again. I think we had just gotten to the point where I had asked you how many acres you started with, and
Yes.
You said that you had begun with 12 acres, and before that you said that whenever there was acreage that was in the area, then you would try to acquire it. When was it that you began using braceros?
I don't remember when that bracero program started, but when it started, I was growing cotton. There were no mechanical cotton pickers at that time. It was all hand-picked cotton.
Right.
So I started contracting braceros.
I believe the program started in 1942. So
well, no, it wasn't that early. I wasn't farming at that time.
Okay.
But how long did it last, do you know?
Through 1964.
To 64?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I probably started contracting braceros in the mid-50s.
Okay. All right. That would put it right in the middle of the program then.
Mm-hmm.
How did you find out about the bracero program?
It was pretty well advertised. The Farm Bureau put out a lot of information on it. I had a friend that was running the program, Epifanio Apodaca. He was a graduate of New Mexico State, and he was in charge of the program for this area. The processing base at that time was Rio Vista, below El Paso.
Yes.
That's where we went to arrange to pick up the braceros after you made the application, and they would notify you that they were ready to be picked up.
Okay. Now, you say Mr. Apodaca was in charge of the program?
Yes.
Was he the labor director for the Farm Bureau, or?
I really don't, I'm not too sure for how he was connected, or who was his supervisor, whatever.
Is he still in this area?
He passed away, unfortunately. He passed away about 10 years ago.
Okay. So did you actually go down to Rio Vista to choose the workers that you wanted?
We didn't get a chance to choose our workers, but the way this was handled, they would assign, if you applied for 15 braceros,
uh-huh.
They would pick out 15 braceros and turn them over to you. This area, all the farmers were trying to get people from the Laguna area in Mexico.
Huh.
They claim that that's where the good cotton pickers came from.
I see.
That's a cotton growing area over there.
Uh-huh.
And we would go early and try to mill around with the braceros that were available and find out a little bit about themselves. And when it came time for us to pick up our braceros, we would tell them to get in a certain line.
Uh-huh.
And maybe we'd have a little better chance of getting those braceros.
I see. So that was because they also grew cotton in that area.
Oh, yes,
of
uh-huh.
Mexico.
And many of them were had friends that were very familiar with this valley,
uh-huh.
And they liked this valley real well.
Whereabouts is Laguna?
And I never did find out just where, but they call it La Laguna area.
La Laguna.
Laguna.
Okay.
The lake area.
Right.
I'm not familiar with parts in Mexico, but that's where the those cotton pickers. There were many of them that would pick 500 pounds a day. Three of them could pick a bale of cotton easy.
Is that a lot? 500
oh, yes.
Pounds?
Oh, yeah. The average cotton picker would pick around 200 pounds.
I see. Oh, that's a lot then.
Mm-hmm.
What did you have to do to hire Braceros? Was there some paperwork that you had to
go through? Oh, yes. Yeah, we had to apply. And that's where Mr. Apodaca came in. He processed paperwork for the request of different farmers for Braceros.
Okay. And did you have to go somewhere to do that, or did they come to you? Did he come to you?
No, Mr. Apodaca had an office here in Las Cruces.
I see.
And but the processing center was in Rio Vista there below El Paso.
Okay. Where was the office that you had to go to in Las Cruces? Do you remember?
I think it was the if I'm not mistaken, it was the Farm Bureau office.
Okay. That would make sense. I don't know who the various directors were at that time. I talked with Bob Porter. Do you know him?
Oh, yes.
Okay, he was the labor director, but only for a couple of years.
Bobby Jack Porter is up?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's from, he used to be originally from Hatch.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
Yeah.
I know Bob real well. You know, when we were kids, we used to be involved in 4-H Club.
Right.
And one year, I was awarded a all-expense-paid trip to Chicago from this area. And Bobby Porter was awarded one from the Hatch area. And we were 12, 13 years at that time.
So you were 4-H buddies.
Yes, from way back.
Okay. Well, he did administer that program for a couple of years, but it was probably after...
It was later after...
Yeah, must have been
in the
60s or so.
Yeah.
And how many acres did you have at the time that you hired Braceros?
I had 38 acres at that time.
Okay, and that was all cotton?
All cotton.
Okay. And...
I didn't have any equipment to process... Hey, that is cutting and raking and baling.
Right. Now, during the entire time that you used Braceros, was that primarily what you grew, or did you add other crops later on?
While the Bracero program was in effect, all my farming was in cotton. Later, I started growing alfalfa, and had it custom cut and baled. And later on, I was able to buy my own equipment, and then I had more. I acquired more acres by that time, and I did my own cutting and baling.
Okay, and did you have help with that then from Braceros also?
No.
That was after.
No, the only use for Braceros were for cotton picking.
I see.
And that was the case, I think, with most farmers.
Okay. So the program was known, just, you know, you said it was well advertised in this area, and that the Braceros were hired for cotton picking, that there was no mechanized cotton picking at that time?
No, every acre of cotton was hand-picked.
Okay. Did you have to meet any specific government regulations in order to hire Braceros?
Oh, yes, yeah. We had to furnish housing for them with utilities and running water.
Okay, and was that provided right on your own place?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and what was the housing like?
It was, most of them were renovated adobe buildings that were on the farm, and the farmer could afford to build a new home for himself, and these houses were renovated for Bracero use.
I see. So there were buildings on the acreage that you bought already existing?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And one of the farmers that I bought had a house that where the farmer used to live, but he sold the farm, and the new owner never did move to the farm. So I bought the farm from him, and it still helped the labor house there.
I see. Do you know how many years you used Braceros total?
I think I used them until the program played out.
Uh-huh. So that would have been like
8 or 10 years.
More. 8 or 10 years, okay. Let's see. Can you estimate how many braceros you employed over the course of a year?
Well, my main use was for cotton picking, and I usually contracted anywhere from 15 to 20 braceros.
Okay, and that would be at what time of year?
Cotton picking usually started at, when we were hand picking, usually started at the very end of August or early September.
Okay.
And it would run into February the following year.
Okay, so that's what, four or five months?
Yes, about 4 or 5 months.
Okay, and was that typically the length of your work contract with a bracero?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay, and...
Normally, I think there was a termination date, but if you finish your cotton picking, you were all through. Then the braceros were free to go back to Mexico.
Okay. Did you ever keep them around to do things other than cotton picking?
No.
Okay. Were there different tasks involved in the harvesting of cotton other than just picking it itself? Did you have any other things that you had braceros do?
No, mainly it was cotton picking. I usually hired a local person, to do the weighing and keep track of pounds that each bracero picked.
I see. Okay, and how did the braceros get to your place?
Well, I had to pick them up at Rio Vista.
Okay.
And bring them to the farm and get them settled down in the living quarters.
Right.
And they were there until they left.
Okay. So if you had like 20 braceros, they certainly wouldn't all fit in
no.
a pickup. Did you have to
no.
hire a bus
oh,
or
yeah.
something?
Oh, yeah. I had some friends that would help me.
Okay. I see. So did you actually have a bus or did you just bring them
no.
in?
No. No. The bracero that I hired, we could usually fit them into... Oh, I'd say 3 or 4 vehicles, you know.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And would that have been like pickup trucks or?
Yeah. Well, mainly cars.
Okay.
Yeah, they more can ride in a car, you know.
Okay.
I think we use some pickups too. Now, the braceros that were contracted to go to Pecos out of Rio Vista,
mm-hmm.
they hauled them over there in cattle trucks, in the back of cattle trucks.
That doesn't sound like a lot of fun. I hope they at least
no.
hosed them down
in fact,
before they put them in there.
In fact, all the braceros that I talked to, they were fighting for so they wouldn't be sent to Pecos. Because that wasn't the only problem, the transportation of Pecos at that time. They still practice a lot of discrimination.
So you're talking about Pecos, Texas?
Pecos, Texas, yes.
Yes, okay. Yeah, I understand that Texas was kind of a tough place for a bracero. So, how did the braceros get along in this area?
They adjusted real well. And another thing that happened, a lot of the Anglo farmers in all over, but in my area is where I noticed them, they learned to speak Spanish. And some of them became real fluent in Spanish.
Hmm.
With the slang and everything, some of the Anglo farmers, and there's a few of them still around.
So that was a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure it made it easier for everyone.
Well, it was easier for the farmer to learn Spanish than it would be for some of the bigger farmers at 30 or 40 braceros, for all of them to speak
English. Yes. Now, Mr. Herrera, did you ever actually go to the processing center there in Rio Vista?
Yes.
What was it like?
It was, to me it reminded me of, it must have been a CCT camp.
Mm-hmm.
You remember those?
Yeah, Civilian Conservation Corps?
Yes, uh-huh.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because they had housing there and they had facilities too. To feed him a light lunch and water available and restrooms available.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure that that's what it was, but I've seen other areas where the CC project built camping areas like that.
Okay.
There was one such project over there in Glenwood, New Mexico,
mm-hmm.
West of Silver City.
Right.
I don't know if you've ever been over there.
Mm-hmm.
The CC boys built a catwalk over the river there.
Yeah.
Real picturesque.
Yeah, I'm familiar with that place. So you think it may have been a CCC camp at one time?
I think that's probably what it was. I'm not sure, but.
So you were required to provide the Braceros with housing and electricity and running water.
Utilities. Mm-hmm.
And what were the requirements as to their pay?
The pay was pretty uniform.
Mm-hmm.
At that time, I guess when I started using Braceros, I forget what the rate was, but it was something like 80 or 90 cents for 100 pounds of cotton or something like that.
I see.
Yeah, it was, labor was cheap at that time.
Uh-huh.
But so was everything else.
Did you have to provide the Braceros with food also, or did they buy their own?
No, they bought their own.
Okay.
We were fortunate that my farms were within walking distance to the stores there in Mesquite, and they'd go buy their own groceries.
Okay.
On Saturdays, they'd manage to get into Anthony or Las Cruces to buy groceries at a bigger grocery store, you know.
Okay. And what did they usually buy? Do you have any idea what they ate?
I think their main staple was beans. Beans and corn tortillas. And
mm-hmm.
Basically, the foods that their culture was accustomed to, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And all those ingredients were available here.
Right. What about medical care? Did you have to provide medical care for your workers?
I don't remember that I ever had to take anybody to the emergency room or anything like that. They were pretty hardy people, pretty healthy.
Mm-hmm.
I don't recall that I ever had any absences from the Braceros to show up for work. I don't recall that. There may have been some, but I don't recall it.
What about injuries? Did any of them, like, chop themselves with a hoe or anything?
No, really. When they were picking cotton, the only thing they could do is fall off of a cotton trailer, but the trailer usually had sideboards on them.
Okay. Did you ever have any government officials or immigration service Border Patrol come around to check on your workers?
We had housing inspection.
Uh-huh.
To see if it passed the requirements and everything.
And what was that like?
No, usually when you were hiring Braceros, Border Patrol wasn't involved in them. They wouldn't come around and check.
Okay. What was the housing inspection? Who did the housing inspection?
I think that was handled also under the Farm Bureau. I'm not sure.
Okay.
But basically, they came to check and see how sound the building was, if there wasn't any hazards that might hurt the Braceros or whatever,
mm-hmm.
and make sure about the utilities being furnished and all that.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Did you ever have any trouble with that? Did they ever write you up for anything?
No.
Okay.
I didn't have to go through anything. I think some of the farmers were asked to repair their wiring on the electrical lights, and that's about all they had, you know. Most of the old homes didn't have any wall plug-ins to plug in a toaster, and toaster were available.
Okay.
So basically all they had was lights.
Okay. But if there was work that needed to be done, did the Braceros end up doing it themselves?
Yeah,
you were not required to do that yourself?
On the houses. No, I don't recall that they had to do anything, really.
No.
If they had a broken window or something, they'd report it to the farmer and he would go and repair it.
Okay, yeah. So you did that if it was necessary.
Oh, yes. We had to do the upkeep on the building.
Right, okay. You said you think that the braceros primarily purchased beans and corn tortillas and that sort of thing. Do you have any idea what their meals were like? Did they ever invite you over for dinner or anything?
No, but I had an experience one time. I was trapping gophers out there on the farm, and the irrigation district would pay the farmers 50 cents per tail. You catch a gopher, you cut the tail off and take it in, and it give you 50 cents. My kids used to do that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And one time I had three gophers that I had trapped, and I had them in the back of my pickup. And they were dead, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And they hadn't been dead very long yet. And one of the braceros saw them, and he asked me what I was going to do with those little animals. I says, well, no, we throw them away. We just cut their tails off.
Uh-huh.
He says, can I have them? I said, sure. What do you want them for? He said, we're going to eat them. He said, you eat the gophers? Oh, yeah. He says, you know, and what he told me made a lot of sense.
Uh-huh.
He said, you know, people here in the States, they go for chicken. They really like chicken meat. And a chicken will get out in the corral and eat just about anything. These little animals, they work underground. And all they eat is clean roots from different plants. That,
uh-huh.
That's what they live on. And it's a very clean animal.
Uh-huh.
And their fur was real, real soft, you know.
Uh-huh.
But they ate. He says, these little animals are cleaner than a rabbit.
Hmm.
And people eat a lot of rabbits and mostly chicken in this place. But you take a chicken and they out on the farm and they eat anything they get hold of.
Yes, I've heard that a lot of Navajo people eat prairie dogs.
Is that right?
I guess it's the same thing as a gopher.
Okay. Well, prairie dogs are more exposed. You never see a gopher on the surface.
Oh.
They're always underground.
Uh-huh.
They build those mounds, you know,
uh-huh.
Push the dirt up. And I showed my boys how to move the dirt out of the way and dig down until you found the holes. And there was a hole going this way and one this way. You set a trap on each one.
Oh.
And then cover it up, and within 6 or 7 hours, you'd go back and you'd catch a gopher.
Huh. Interesting. So, what about moles? Are they the same thing, or?
No,
different?
I don't think we have those here.
Okay. I don't know if we did or not.
We had a bunch of squirrels and gophers, skunks, but no mole.
Do you happen to remember what the minimum hourly wage was?
No, I sure don't, but it was probably around 30 or 40 cents.
Okay, but it was mostly by the number of pounds of cotton picked that you paid?
When you hire them to do work other than cotton picking,
uh-huh.
Then you have to pay them by the hour.
I see. But if it was cotton picking, then it was by the pound?
Right. Uh-huh.
Okay. Who determined the wages?
I think it's a wage hour, the wage and hour division. It's a Department of Labor.
Oh, okay. The Department of Labor. Mm-hmm. Okay. And then did they kind of dictate then to the farmers mm-hmm. what had to
they
be
still,
paid?
The Department of Labor still does that.
I see.
Now they have a minimum wage.
Right.
And they make sure that if people out there are harvesting onions or whatever, even though they get paid by the pound,
right.
They still have to equal minimum wage or better.
I see. Okay. Did you have to keep books on what you paid each worker?
We kept records for ourselves. Not.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't a government requirement.
I see. Okay. How did you go about keeping those records?
Well, we had a big tablet
uh-huh.
with all the braceros names listed on there.
Right.
And the number of pounds that each picked, well, it was under their name.
Uh-huh.
At the end of the week, we told the number of pounds and paying by the pound.
Okay. All right. And were you required to withhold any taxes or
no,
anything
not at
else
that time.
From their pay?
No.
No, so they just got a lump sum.
That's right, yeah.
Okay. Um, the hiring agent then would have been your friend Epifanio Apodaca?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and you think he was with the Farm Bureau.
Mm-hmm.
Did the Farm Bureau, to your knowledge, have any influence over the operation of the Bracero program?
No, I'm not familiar with that. You know, I think it might not be a bad idea if you can interview Bob Porter. He can give you a lot of that information.
Okay. I did, actually. I talked to him already.
Oh, you
already.
Did? Because he was with Farm Bureau for a long time.
Yes, but he was only labor director for a couple of years.
For the Farm Bureau?
The Bracero program.
But with Farm Bureau, he was the executive director there.
Yeah.
After Johnny Augustine left, I think.
Okay. All right. So, Mr. Augustine, then, is probably another person I should talk to.
Yeah, Johnny Augustine. He's up in age, you know, but he's still pretty sharp.
And does he live in the Las Cruces area?
Yes.
Okay.
In fact, he's on a street named Creed. Let me get it. Well, later I can get
it. Okay, we'll do it later.
Yeah, I'll give you the address on it.
Okay, great. Okay, so we talked about what the Braceros did for you. Can you tell me what a typical day for them would be like during harvesting cotton season?
Well, basically they came over to earn money, basically. Picking cotton,
uh-huh.
And they counted on 5 or 6 days doing that during the week.
Uh-huh.
They didn't work on Sundays.
Okay.
And Sundays, they had a time to do their laundry and go buy groceries and stuff like that. And most farmers would only work till noon on Saturdays too.
Okay.
So that gave them another half a day.
And what time did their day start in the morning?
Cotton picking, if you didn't have any dew on the cotton, they could start as early as they wanted to. We didn't have a set time for them to start. But on a normal day, if there was no dew on the cotton, or no moisture on the cotton, by 8 o'clock they were out there picking cotton. They were eager to get in the field and get going.
Okay. What kind of tools did they use for picking cotton?
For picking cotton? Just their hands.
Did they wear gloves or anything?
No.
No.
I think some of them would tape their fingers around the nails here. So the cotton burrs are pretty sharp.
Right.
Sometimes they would get sore right in here.
Uh-huh.
And they would tape their fingers, just the tip of their fingers.
With like adhesive
just
tape?
Just like a Band-Aid or something.
Uh-huh.
Like that, yeah.
Okay.
That's about all they used.
What about hats or any particular kind of clothing? Did they wear hats?
Most of them would wear hats. Some of them just bareheaded, but most of them would wear hats. That was before the fad where the caps came into place. Now everybody wears caps.
I see. Okay. Did they wear any particular kind of clothes to protect them from the sun or anything?
No, not really. Some of them would wear a heavy shirt over the regular shirt.
Uh-huh.
That's about it.
Okay. And that would be to protect them from sunburn, or?
Yeah, but you know, one year I had one bracero that came from Cuauhtémoc. You know what Cuauhtémoc is?
Is that down by Mexico City?
No, it's by Chihuahua.
Okay.
Chihuahua's down in the valley,
uh-huh.
And Cuauhtémoc is up on some plains up there. We had a real cold day one time. There's a wind blowing from the east, real cold. Man, it would make your eyes water facing the wind.
Mm-hmm.
And I went out there about 8:30, and there were a few pickers out there, and I told them, it's just too cold to pick cotton today. Let's just take the day off. And most of them came from the warmer parts in Mexico, and they were cold, so I thought they all had left, you know. And at noon, I drove to the farm, and there was one fellow picking cotton over there, in short-sleeved shirt and everything.
Mm-hmm.
He was whistling and picking away. And I stopped and I walked into the field to tell him, hey, I told the other people that we were going to take the day off. It's too cold to be picking cotton. He says, this weather's not cold, it's just right. He says, I come from a part in Mexico where the water freezes in late September and it doesn't thaw out until the spring.
Mm-hmm.
That ice doesn't thaw. And he was from Cuauhtémoc.
Mm-hmm.
And it's up on the plains from an area over there that gets real cold in the winter.
Mm-hmm.
He was used to that.
Yeah.
And he kept picking cotton. By next morning, he had 3 sacks full up there right away.
So, did they have, like, big bags for picking the cotton?
We had to furnish the sacks for them.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And what were those made out of?
Canvas. It's white canvas.
And what size were they?
Well, most of them were anywhere from... 6 to 9 feet long.
6 to 9 feet
long.
Yeah,
9 feet is kind of clumsy to be hauling around.
And how?
But most of them were 7 or 8 feet. And they were about 2 feet in diameter.
Okay, 2 feet in diameter. Okay, that would hold a lot of cotton, I guess.
Oh, yes. Uh-huh. Yeah, a full sack would weigh right around 100 pounds. A little less, a little more.
Okay. Did you have a lot of contact with your braceros?
Mainly at work, yes. Mm-hmm.
So you were their direct supervisor then?
Well, yeah. One of my farms is just a little further down,
uh-huh,
along close to the canal. You know, you cross the canal over there, I guess. So it was pretty close to my home.
Okay, when you say across the canal, you mean across?
No,
what?
This side of the canal.
This side of the canal?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah. Right down the canal on this side.
Meaning east of the canal. We're talking about the canal that would be where from?
Well, you cross the canal where that quite gate is over there, you know.
Oh, okay.
Which way did you come in? From the east?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. You didn't quite get to the canal. You see that white gate over there?
Yes.
That's where the canal is.
Okay. So the
irrigation
canal then,
mm-hmm,
is
the
east of Mr. Edetta's farm in Mesquite, and that would be running what, north and south?
The canal runs north and south.
Okay, along, what is it, 428?
Well, 428 is about 4 blocks distance.
Okay.
Away, it's 428.
So that we were talking about where the ditch was in relation to where your other place was.
Mm.
And so where is your other place from the irrigation ditch?
I've got some farmland here around my house.
Uh-huh.
And then it extends to where the Bracero house used to be. The house not there anymore.
I see.
But my pecan acreage runs to the next concrete ditch that I water.
Uh-huh.
And I have 30 acres on the other side of that concrete ditch.
Okay.
And that's where the house was.
Okay. All right.
And then I've got 160 acres about a mile and a half down.
And that would be about a mile and a half down from 228.
Yes.
Okay.
No, a mile right from 228.
Okay.
Yeah.
Then south on 428.
Yeah.
Okay. Did you know any of the braceros by name?
Well, I knew all the ones that I hired by name, yeah.
I see. Okay. Does anyone in
I had a neighbor next to me that he also contracted braceros.
Uh-huh.
And sometimes his bracero would come and help me.
Good morning. Hey, how you doing?
Yeah. Okay. That's Beth, that's my younger son, Andy.
Let me turn this off for a moment.
He's a farmer now.
Oh, so it sort of like makes a new chapter every time we start over. It makes what they call a new track. So we were talking about whether or not you knew any of the braceros by name, and then you were talking about one of your neighbors who also used braceros.
Yes.
And I don't know what you were going to tell me about.
Well, okay, we traded labor.
I see.
If I got a little behind on my picking, or he'd lend me his braceros.
I see.
And I do likewise with him. We kind of work together.
Okay. Does any particular bracero stand out in your memory? Do you remember? Were any of them especially good
workers? No, none of them that I know came back to this area after they got their residential passports. I'm pretty sure most of them did. They came back later and got the residential visas to reside here.
Was there any particular bracero that became an especially valued employee for you? Like, did you try to rehire the same people every year?
We couldn't do that because the braceros had no they had no choice in saying where they wanted to go.
I see.
When they were brought from Mexico. And they could have gone to Damien, they could have gone to Roswell area or anywhere, you know. Because Damien and Roswell, Artesia, Carlsbad, they all had braceros.
Did you have a foreman for your farm?
Well, I was doing the farming myself.
You were it.
Yeah, I did, like I told you before, I did hire a person to do the weighing of the cotton when we were picking cotton.
Okay.
And keep track of the pound for each employee.
Okay. Did he have any other responsibilities in relationship to the braceros?
No.
No, okay. Do you happen to know what the braceros did on their days off besides laundry and grocery shopping?
No, I'm not sure. They probably brought some cards or dominoes to play with. I'm not sure, really.
Did you have any problem with braceros getting into trouble and drinking while they were staying with you?
No.
Okay. Did they,
I never did get any calls to go bail somebody out of jail, no.
Did any of the braceros that worked for you bring their families with them?
No.
No.
No. The bracero program was strictly for male employees.
I see. Okay. Did you give them any special privileges, like paid vacation days or anything like that?
No, it was seasonal work, you know, so.
Okay.
Yeah.
So they did not have any holidays off or anything like that?
Of course, they had time off when we had weather condition, like rain or something like that, you know.
I see. So you don't know what they did for fun, per se?
No, I really don't. I knew they enjoyed going to town and kind of looking around, you know,
right.
Getting to know the country.
Uh-huh.
Most of them, or some of them, were too shy to go out and find out that they couldn't converse with people because they didn't know the language.
Okay, so they kind of kept to themselves because of the language. Yeah.
But there were a lot of, you know, this area has always had a lot of Hispanics that they could converse with. But
right.
If they went into a store and there were no people that would speak Spanish, they were kind of shy of going in there.
I see. Yeah, that makes perfect sense. So when the contract ended with the braceros, did they just go straight back to Mexico?
Yes, as far as I know. They had to be processed back into Mexico. The program, they had to account for the braceros coming in, and they had to account for the braceros leaving the country, too.
I see. But if it was not necessarily the end of a contract and your neighbor needed someone, then they could go work for him for a few days.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay. What were your obligations at the end of the work contract?
I really didn't, I had completed my obligations. If I had furnished her what I was supposed to furnish for them, like housing with utilities and all that, that was my main obligation. And of course, providing them a job.
Right.
That's a must. They came over to do some work, and that was the purpose of the program.
Okay. And you said you might have up to 20 braceros or so work for you each year?
That was the top number, yeah.
Okay. And for how many years would you say you hired braceros?
I don't remember. I started about the mid-50s, and probably by the end of the 50s, that would be about 4 or 5 years, I guess. I'm not too sure about the time limit there.
Okay. So, let's see, what else? You said you did not have any problems with braceros?
No.
No fist fights or anything?
Not that I'm aware of, no.
No criminal behavior?
No.
Okay.
Not the ones that I had. Some other farmer may have had different experiences, but
okay.
I never did have any problem with them.
Did they ever complain to you about their living conditions or wages or anything?
No. Basically, I think that what we furnished them was a lot better than what they had at home.
Sure. Did they ever stage any strikes or labor protests in your area? Not
no.
necessarily just against you,
no,
but
no.
locally?
Not that
okay.
I'm aware of.
Okay. Did you ever, in addition to the braceros, hire undocumented workers?
There were always a few undocumented workers in the area. They always have been.
Mm-hmm.
And in 1981, we started a dairy operation. And all the employees we would get were undocumented.
Mm-hmm.
And that's basically what we operated the dairy on for a while.
Did you ever have any conflict during the bracero program between hiring braceros and hiring undocumented
no.
workers?
No. At that time, when the bracero program went out of existence, that's when the illegal immigrants came in here to look for work.
I see.
Yeah.
Okay. So you never had any undocumented
no.
and braceros working
no.
at
no.
the same time? Okay. In your opinion, what was the quality of the braceros' work?
The most of them were the ones that I contracted were real good workers,
uh-huh.
real dedicated to doing farm work. They were raised in farms, you know, so they knew farm work.
Okay. How would their work compare to that of, say, Anglo farm workers or Mexican-American farm workers who already lived here?
I don't know if we can make a good comparison then because labor was scarce at that time for farm.
Mm-hmm.
And for cotton picking, it required a lot of labor for a short period of time.
Mm-hmm.
So, and they were not, we didn't have any locals to fill that void. We had to rely on braceros.
I see. So, was it that the local people did not want to work seasonally or?
A lot of them had, they already had their jobs lined up.
I see.
Some of them in construction, some of them in sales and whatnot.
Uh-huh. Okay. What would you say were the advantages and disadvantages of the bracero program?
The program in itself served a purpose both for the farmer and to help the people in Mexico because they came and they earned, I don't know, I'd venture to say, 4 times the amount of money that they could have made at home.
Mm-hmm.
And it was of short duration, but we needed the labor to get our crops out. We just didn't have the labor here to do it. Later on, they started working with mechanical pickers, but there was no comparison between mechanical pickers and hand pickers at that time. Now they've perfected the cotton pickers where they do a real good job.
So
but when they started out, that it was a crude machine that it picked the cotton real trashy.
Mm-hmm.
And it knocked a lot of cotton to the ground, which is unretrievable. You lost that cotton.
I see. So initially, when mechanization began and the braceros were preferable to...
Well, they terminated the bracero program, I think on account of the labor unions. They always complained that the bracero program was taking up jobs that the American people should be doing.
Mm-hmm.
But that wasn't really true because... there weren't enough of them anyway to fill the void in the farm.
Mm-hmm.
So they terminated the Bracero program, and that stimulated the work on the mechanical pickers.
I see. Okay. Well, do you think the Bracero program should be reinstated?
At this point, I don't think so, because not for cotton anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Cotton, there's no way that you can pick it the way the cotton picker does in volume.
So it has improved to the point where it's,
oh yes, it's
more
very
efficient than
it's very efficient.
Hand labor.
One cotton picker can pick as what 60 or 80 braceros could pick in one day.
Wow.
Just one cotton picker. So you get your crops out a lot faster, preventing the exposure to weather elements and everything up on the farm.
Uh-huh.
And no, at this point, the Bracero program wouldn't do any good for the cotton program.
What about for other crops?
I farmed until 1990.
Uh-huh.
And I was involved in growing vegetables. I grew onions, lettuce, spinach, which at times required a lot of hand labor.
Mm-hmm.
Well, some of that labor still needs to be done by hand. But now, a contractor, labor contractor,
mm-hmm.
goes to the border and picks up the workers from the border and brings them to the farm or wherever there's a need for them. They work through a labor contractor. And that's the way I worked when I was farming vegetables. I'd do the ground preparation, the planting and everything, but once the lettuce started growing, that had to be thinned out by hand labor.
Right.
There's no machine that can do that. Lettuce has to be thinned out to where there's only one plant every 8 or 10 inches. If there's two plants there, neither of them would make a marketable lettuce.
Nice.
Because they grow oblong instead of round.
Huh.
So it has to be done by hand.
Interesting. Okay, so we are still using farm laborers from Mexico, but under other circumstances.
Yeah, it's another method now, not braceros.
Okay. Are they?
There's quite a few people that have residential status,
uh-huh.
but they live in Juarez. It's cheaper for them to live over there.
Okay.
But they still come and work in the States.
So they would be people that have basically like green cards or?
The what?
Green cards?
Yes,
people
right. Uh-huh. But they only cross the border, and a labor contractor, and he owns a bus. He picks them up at the border, brings them to the farmer, and charges the farmer for transporting the laborers and keeping records on them. And the farmer pays the labor contractor, and he pays the labor.
Okay. So in a way, the program has continued. But it's in a different form.
In a different form, that's
okay.
correct.
All right.
I think in Florida and other states, they still bring in labor from South America to harvest their apple crop or cherry crop or whatever.
From South America?
Yeah.
You mean like beyond Mexico?
Well, from the Central America.
Okay.
From Central America mainly.
Honduras and
yes, right.
Uh-huh. So on. Okay. All right. Well, I gather that you don't think it's appropriate for the Bracero program then to be reinstated.
I don't think there's much of a possibility that it be reinstated, because the labor unions will fight it.
Mm-hmm.
They feel that bringing in foreign labor is going to take jobs from the American people. That's their thinking. So
mm-hmm.
they'll fight it. And labor unions have a lot of power, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So for that reason, I don't think that the Bracero program will be reinstated.
Is there anything that we haven't covered about it that you would like to discuss about the program?
The Bracero program would fill a void right now for the chili industry, because they're working on a mechanical chili picker but it hasn't been perfected to be real efficient.
How long do you?
If you give it a little more time, we'll probably have a chili picker that'll work as well as the cotton picker does for picking cotton.
And how long would you expect that window of time to be?
That depends on the need for it.
Uh-huh.
Right now, they seem to get by with bringing in labor for chili picking from Juarez.
Mm-hmm.
But if that labor gets a little too costly, and now it is more costly than what the Bracero program used to be, then the working on a mechanical picker will be accelerated to the point where they can get it perfected in a shorter period of time.
Mm-hmm.
I think the university over here is working on that too.
Probably. So, the chili industry is kind of hurting then for labor right now.
Yeah, right now, that's the only thing. But with the free trade agreements they worked out,
mm-hmm.
the chili processing plants in this area are bringing chili grown in Mexico cheaper than they can buy it from the local farmers.
Hmm.
So that's another point to consider.
Yes. Okay. Well, is there anything that you would like to say about your years of working with the Bracero program and what it contributed to your farm in particular?
Well, all I can say is the Bracero program, when it was in operation, it provided a real service for the farmer that was barely needed, and it also provided people in Mexico a job where they could improve their living in Mexico too.
Mm-hmm. So you think it was a good thing for both sides?
I think it was good for both countries, really.
Okay. Well, I think we pretty much covered this here, so I'm going to stop this unless you have anything else to add.
No, I guess not.
Okay.